This is Dan White with the media book, The End Time Church, From the Cathedrals to the Catacombs, Chapter 15, Kings of Israel. Can you flip a coin and get tails 19 times in a row? If my meager math is right, I think there's about one chance in 500,000 of doing that. Well, then, how about having 19 bad kings in a row? Because of Solomon's sins, 10 tribes of Israel were taken away from his line and set up in a separate kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. That kingdom had 19 kings. A king can either be basically good or basically bad, like heads or tails. So the chance of having 19 bad kings in a row is about like flipping 19 heads in a row, right? Jeroboam took Solomon's place as king over 10 tribes of Israel, with Judah still left under Solomon's son Rehoboam because of God's promise to David. Jeroboam was chosen as king by Yahweh himself to lead God's chosen people. However, instead of serving God and those chosen people, Jeroboam quickly decided to serve himself. 1 Kings 12, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was no one who followed David's house except for the tribe of Judah only. When Rehoboam had come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men, who were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, "Speak to Rehoboam the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, Yahweh says, you shall not go up or fight against your brothers, the children of Israel. Everyone return to his house, for this thing is from me." So they listened to Yahweh's word and returned and went their way according to Yahweh's word. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived in it. And he went out from there and built Penuel. Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom will return to David's house. If this people goes up to offer sacrifices in Yahweh's house at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah." So the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold. And he said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Look and behold your gods, Israel, which brought you out of the land of Egypt." He set the one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. He made houses of high places and made priests from among all the people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like the feast that is in Judah, and he went up to the altar. He did so in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. End quote. Now notice Jeroboam's thinking. Yahweh took the 10 tribes away from Rehoboam and set Jeroboam up as king over them. Jeroboam then figured, totally leaving God out of the picture, if the people go up to Jerusalem to worship Yahweh at the feast, then they will go back to Rehoboam. Jeroboam only thought of himself. Once he got his kingly position, the prime thing in his life was keeping his kingly position. Almost all kings, whether political or religious, fall into that same trap. Jeroboam, though, missed the obvious. God put Jeroboam in his position, and God, not the people, would keep him there or remove him. And that's what happened. When Jeroboam set up his own festival to compete with Yahweh's festival, God ended Jeroboam's line. He ruled for 22 years. Then his son Nadab, in only his second year, was assassinated by Baasha, who also killed all the male descendants of Jeroboam. Because Jeroboam changed God's feast, the animals in Jeroboam's kingdom had a feast. 1 Kings 14:11, "The dogs will eat he who belongs to Jeroboam who dies in the city, and the birds of the sky will eat he who dies in the field, for Yahweh has spoken it." End quote. So Jeroboam was like the first coin flip. Tails. His son Nadab was not one dab better. The only good thing about his reign was its brevity. Two tails in a row. Then Baasha ruled for 24 years. His son Elah ruled for one. When he was assassinated, and Baasha's line was ended, as Baasha had ended Jeroboam's line. 1 Kings 16, Behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and will make your house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Him that dies of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dies of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. At this point in the kingdom of Israel, with two dynasties and four kings, the animals are faring way better than the people. Four kings, four tails. Zimri was the one who ended Baasha's family, but he only lasted 1 week himself. Then there was civil war among the 10 tribes, and Omri prevailed as king. Well, this human king thing was not going too well for the 10 tribes. In 50 years, they had 5 kings, 3 coups, and 1 civil war. The new king, Omri, though, was industrious, energetic, and incorrigibly wicked. 1 Kings 16:25, Omri did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, and dealt wickedly above all who were before him. End quote. So the 6th king, Omri, was worse than all before him. The more kings Israel had, the worse they got. Until Ahab. Ahab was the 7th king of Israel. 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection. But in Ahab's case, that went the other way. He was the worst of the lot. 1 Kings 16, Ahab, the son of Omri, did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, above all that were before him, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sons of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He raised up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Ahab made the Asherah, and Ahab did more yet to provoke Yahweh, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. End quote. Ahab was the first king to openly introduce and practice Baal worship, yet he named his sons after Yahweh. He thought there was value in all religions and that they must all be equally respected. God didn't have much respect for that idea and sent a 42-month drought on Ahab's kingdom. Then the 10 tribes of Israel, who had so strongly yearned for a king, well, then they yearned just for something to eat. Finally, Ahab tricked his friend Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, into going into battle dressed as a king, while Ahab went dressed as a common soldier. Clever, right? Almost. The Syrian attackers would have killed Jehoshaphat, except for God delivering him, and Ahab would have escaped harm, except for an arrow with eyes. 1 Kings 22, a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of the armor. Therefore Ahab said to the driver of his chariot, Turn your hand and carry me out of the battle, for I am severely wounded. The battle increased that day. The king was propped up in his chariot, facing the Syrians, and died at evening. The blood ran out of the wound into the bottom of the chariot. End quote. After Ahab's death, Omri's dynasty continued a bit longer with Ahab's son Ahaziah. 1 Kings 22, verse 51, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he reigned 2 years over Israel. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, in which he made Israel to sin. He served Baal and worshiped him, and provoked Yahweh, the God of Israel, to anger in all the ways that his father had done so. End quote. Well, then he was followed by another son of Ahab, Jehoram, who unfortunately had the same name as the king who reigned in Judah at the same time. The only good thing about Jehoram is that he wasn't as bad as his predecessors. However, that's still not good, simply because they were all so bad. 2 Kings 3, now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he held to the sins of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel to sin. He didn't depart from them. End quote. Then Jehu overthrew Jehoram, so the dynasty of Omri ended after 4 kings. At this point, Israel had suffered through 9 kings from 4 families, repeated coups and civil wars, and extensive wars with the kings of the other nations. All of this in about a century. And have you noticed that all those 9 kings were tails? Surely the 10th king would come up heads. It looked like it. Jehu got rid of the Omri-Ahab line, just as Yahweh instructed. And he messed up Jezebel's makeup by having her thrown out a window. So God gave Jehu this promise, 2 Kings 10. Yahweh said to Jehu, "Because you have done well in executing that which is right in my eyes, and have done to Ahab's house according to all that was in my heart, your descendants shall sit on the throne of Israel to the 4th generation." End quote. But then Jehu forgot to obey God in other things. Verse 31, "But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of Yahweh, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel to sin." End quote. Tails. Then Jehu's son was the 11th tail. 2 Kings 13. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel in Samaria for 17 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, followed the sins of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel to sin. He didn't depart from it. Yahweh's anger burned against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, continually. Jehoahaz begged Yahweh, and Yahweh listened to him, for he saw the oppression of Israel, how the king of Syria oppressed them. Yahweh gave Israel a savior, so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians, and the children of Israel lived in their tents as before. Nevertheless, they didn't depart from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, but walked in them, and the Asherah also remained in Samaria. End quote. Okay, oppression by a foreign king? Then Yahweh raising up someone to deliver Israel? What does that sound like? Ah, it sounds like the time of the judges, when Israel suffered for disobedience. Under a different government, Israel was still disobedient and still suffered the same way. The type of human government did not matter as much as obedience to God. Furthermore, their king did not protect the flock. In fact, the kingly leader infected the flock with his own human shortcomings. Quote, "Nevertheless, they did not depart from the sins of the house of Jeroboam." Well, then came this grandson of Jehu, 2 Kings 13, in the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, began to reign over Israel in Samaria for 16 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, didn't depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel to sin, but he walked in them. End quote. For after Jehoash, or Joash, came another Jeroboam. Israel had gone through 12 kings, from one Jeroboam to a second, and they were all like the first Jeroboam, self-seeking despots. Jeroboam II, the second, reigned the longest of any king of the 10 tribes. 2 Kings 14, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria for 41 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. He didn't depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel to sin. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of the Arabah, according to Yahweh, the God of Israel's word, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet. For Yahweh saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for all, slave and free, and there was no helper for Israel. End quote. Jehu had begun well, and was then promised four generations of kings, before was all. And that fourth king, Zechariah, lasted only 6 months. 2 Kings 15. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reigned over Israel and Samaria 6 months. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, as his fathers had done. He didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel to sin. Shallum, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him, and struck him before the people and killed him, and reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of Israel. This was Yahweh's word which he spoke to Jehu, saying, "Your sons to the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel." So it came to pass. End quote. Well, so ended the fifth dynasty of Israel's kings. 14 kings, and not one came up heads. 2 Kings 15, Shallum, the son of Jabesh, began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah. And he reigned for a month in Samaria. Menahem went up from Tirzah, came to Samaria, struck Shallum, killed him, and reigned in his place. End quote. Shallum ruled for 1 month. Shalom is goodbye in Hebrew, so the obvious thing to say about that is Shalom, Shalom. Menahem had to tax the people heavily to pay off one of those kings of all the other nations that Israel so admired. 2 Kings 15, in the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menahem began to reign over Israel for 10 years in Samaria. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. He didn't depart all his days from the sins of Jeroboam. Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. Menahem exacted the money from Israel, even from all the mighty men of wealth, from each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and didn't stay there in the land. End quote. Menahem's dynasty lasted only 12 years total. Then his son Pekahiah was put out by Pekah. 2 Kings 15, in the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, began to reign over Israel and Samaria for 2 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. He didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam. Pekah, the son of Remaliah, his captain, conspired against him and attacked him in Samaria, in the fortress of the king's house, with Argob and Ariah, and with him were 50 men of the Gileadites. He killed him and reigned in his place. Well, then Pekah made a boo-boo. He didn't obey God either. Actually, that was a peek-a-boo-boo. 2 Kings 15, verse 27, in the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah began to reign over Israel in Samaria for 20 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. He didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and took Ijon, Maacah, Jeddah, Kadesh, Hazor, Gilead, and Galilee, and all the land of Naphtali. And he carried them captive to Assyria. Hoshea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, attacked him, killed him, and reigned in his place. in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. End quote. Well, at this point, Israel had suffered through 18 kings, all bad. 18 tails, no heads. Guess what? The 19th king was the best. However, being the best of the bad is still not good. So under the 19th king, Hoshea, the kingdom of Israel ceased to exist, and its people were forcibly deported from the Holy Land. 2 Kings 17, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea began to reign in Samaria over Israel for 9 years. He did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, yet not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him. Hoshea became his servant and brought him tribute. The king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and offered no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria seized him and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land, went up to Samaria, and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria, and carried Israel away to Assyria, and placed them in Halah, and on the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. It was so because the children of Israel had sinned against Yahweh their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the nations, whom Yahweh cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they made. The children of Israel secretly did things that were not right against Yahweh their God. They built high places for themselves in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. And they set up for themselves pillars and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burned incense in all the high places, as the nations whom Yahweh carried away from before them did. And they did wicked things to provoke Yahweh to anger. And they served idols, of which Yahweh had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." End quote. Notice that Yahweh had brought Israel out from under the hand of Pharaoh, where they had feared other gods. Then they chose to put themselves under the hand of another type of Pharaoh and did the same thing. Israel had 19 different kings from 9 different families, and not a single king was good. The chance of flipping a coin and getting 19 tails in a row is about 1 in 500,000, yet Israel came up with 19 tails in a row. To defy mathematical odds like that must mean there must be a problem with human nature. Therefore, there is always a problem with following human rulers instead of following God directly. This applies to all humans in all types of governments because they're all human. Israel suffered constant wars, frequent oppression by foreign kings, repeated coups and civil wars, droughts and famines. Finally, one of those kings from those other nations that Israel admired so much ended the kingdom that shouldn't have been in the first place. The kings of Israel did not protect the flock, but polluted the flock. They did not bring unity, but brought chaos. They did not get more done for the work of God, because God wasn't personally leading their work. They were following men. Perhaps Israel would have been better off just following God directly, instead of putting a carnal human being between him and them.